I'm not saying it can't go higher. I'm just saying you look for alternatives in that environment. And cryptos are great. Gold has been really great this year, and now it's getting a little expensive. But I just look at what I see as indications of the next big trade. And gold being up on this year right now as we speak, 52%. At the same time, crude oil is down 16%. That disparity, which is almost 70% of gold up, crude oil down. This is the world's ancient store value. It ain't supposed to go up that much unless there's something wrong.
But let's talk about the spectrum, if you were, or where we're at the spectrum. And I'm going to throw something at you that I'm just thinking about and considering, because a normal correction and even deflationary time, and give that 3, 6, 9 months, whatever should happen, I put should in as in air quotes here. What if it doesn't? Meaning, what if the Fed just prints a ton of money or continues to print a ton of money, and it's just start, that money has, that liquidity has to go somewhere. I guess my question is have you considered that, and what does that look like?
That's gold. Right away. Yes. The default for that is gold. Any other options, gold. First of all, that's what happened in Japan until recently. It took like 30 years. That's what's happening in China right now, second largest economy. It's happening right now, the massive liquidity pumping in that country. No, we're near that. I mean, like I said, it's 2 to 3 times U.S. Money supply running, and debt to GDP running 300% in this country, at least 130%. It's only going up. So, but the key thing that happens is, that's key thing is, what's missed, one bridge at a time. I'd say, you know, in a binary model, there's one iteration, and you take a choice and you go to the next iteration. The first iteration is what happened in 1933. Well, how did we bottom that deflation, bottom the stock market? FDR devalued versus gold. Mm-hmm. It took a 90% correction in the stock market. So that's my point, is we go through the first iteration, and that to me is the next big trade. Stock market drops and we'll get the printing, sure. But it'll be a cat, you know, chasing, you know, like the cat chasing, the dog chasing its tail forever. Just if any history is an example, when you get this expensive and people start shutting down, you know, we've way overdue for a little bit of retracement of consumer spending, particularly when everybody starts losing on the value of their home and their assets, which hasn't happened for like forever.
Mike McGlone, Bloomberg Intelligence. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Andy. Thanks for having me on. And since I enjoy talking to you, and I think we look like good bookends.
We do. And as I said off camera, you're a very handsome man. My wife might confuse us. We look very similar. Sorry. So let me get to it here. So last time I had you on, it was about, I want to say, 8 weeks. Well, 6 to 8 weeks ago. I think you made a great analysis, a tie into it, where you talked about the S&P 500. Well, you didn't specifically say the S&P 500 from what I remember, but you said stocks, their correlation between Bitcoin. Bitcoin has had this correction. We've had our bounce. Stocks have not. But I want you to talk about that. Where are we at with all of that? Do you potentially see a blow off top here in stocks, or just, I guess, how does this work in your thesis?
Well, as some of our long-term, or my long-term listeners and readers have known, I've been looking for a blow-off stocks, top in stocks for too long, and we're clearly in a blow-off part. The question is how far it can go. The key thing I like to point out is it's great to put Bitcoin in that same bucket, because I just look at pretty significant divergent weaknesses from cryptos versus stock market now. And this is stuff I pointed out last year. And as soon as Bitcoin went 100,000, reached 100,000, to me, that was a sign that the bell was ringing. And now we've had classic signs of peak late stage bull markets, massive euphoria, pile on, and into very poor performance relatively. So on the year, as we speak on October 29th, right after the Fed made their announcement, Bitcoin's up almost the exact same amount as S&P 500, about 19%. For an asset that trades 2 to 3 times the volatility of beta, that's real bad. And it's also it happening in a time of the year that's real bad, and happening when everybody's, you know, the masses are piling into it at the wrong levels for the wrong reasons. So I also look at other indications like the Bloomberg Galaxy Crypto Index. It's up only about 10% this year, and it trades almost 3 to 4 times the volatility of the S&P 500, and it's lagging, divergent weakness. And then I can tilt over to one other thing that's showing, I would say, divergent strength. Look at the Bloomberg US Treasury 20 plus year T-bond index. It's up almost 10% on this year, and that's up despite this pretty significant inflationary force in the stock market going up. So I'm looking for the next big trade. And in the past 5 to 10 years, it was clearly cryptos. Certainly for the last few years, it was, and certainly this year it was gold. And now I'm worried that the next big trade is just going to be good old US Treasuries, which means that would be triggered by one simple thing, a minor 10% correction in the stock market. And I think you can easily drop 40 basis points in that 10-year note yield, which right now is at 40%, at 4%.
Yeah, so I would agree with you here. You can easily see a 10% very easily, and I might add, and again, this is not investment advice, but a 10% correction in the stock market here. But talk to me a little bit about, you said a key word I think is liquidity here. Is this, and I think Bitcoin, correct me if I'm wrong, as well as gold is showing this a liquidity problem or a crisis here in the economy where money is becoming out and money is hard to find. Correct me
Well,
if I'm wrong.
it's one thing. It's massive liquidity now because of one main thing. All risk assets are going up. So I do want point when people point out things like money supply and inflation and everything. But when you get to 2 point almost 4 times GDP, stock market cap to GDP, the stock market is the economy. And I'm not saying it can't go higher. I'm just saying you look for alternatives in that environment. And cryptos were great. Gold has been really great this year, and now it's getting a little expensive. But I just look at what I see as indications of the next big trade. And gold being up on this year right now, as we speak, 52%. At the same time, crude oil is down 16%. That disparity, which is almost 70% of gold up, crude oil down, this is the world's ancient store value. It ain't supposed to go up that much. Unless there's something wrong. And this is the world's most industrial significant commodity going down that much. It ain't supposed to go down that much unless something's wrong. But that disparity, Andy, it was the greatest ever on an annual basis. Now, we only go back 100 years, but gold wasn't even on, we've only been off the gold standard since 1971, and crude oil hasn't didn't really matter as much 100 years ago. And the most significant disparity on the end of year basis was about 60%, and that was in 2008. So to put 2025 into the same year as 2008, and the stock market still being up 20% for something like what I'm looking at in a commodity standpoint is just very, I just use the word scary. Now, as we're getting towards Halloween, how about frightening?
Yeah, no, I would share. I lived through 2008, and actually, I was managing a ton of money in 2008, and I was afraid that I was going to have to go buy a cabin out in the woods and haul water with some buckets. I'm not kidding. We used that analogy back then. So, are we going into that? Is that what your opinion is, or how do you see, work that out for me? How do you see that?
Well, we sure hope that. And if we can time, I'd love to hear part of your 2008 story because I was just a trader. I worked at Standard and Poor's S&P, and it was my best trading year ever, only because I just saw it coming. I was tipped off by volatility dropping to the lowest level ever, the VIX in 2006, and I just looked for alternatives, and I just overweighted treasuries and just found ways to short the stock market. Now, kind of done similar in the last year just by buying gold and overweight treasuries, but that's just similar signals. But the key thing I see different now is when we started at 2007. Let's put this, we'll start with one simple thing. People talk about high levels of cash now. It's the opposite. If you look at the standard money market amount on the Bloomberg terminals, about 7 point, almost $7 trillion. That's about 10% of the stock market cap. In 2014 and 2007, before the great financial crisis, was closer to 15%. So markets up so high, and also stock market cap to GDP versus the rest of the world, we're almost 1 to 1. I mean, it was, you just look at this S&P 500 divided by the MSCI ex US index, it was a 1 to 1 ratio. Now it's about 2 to 1, so we've doubled versus the rest of the world in that period. And also US stock market cap to GDP back then is maybe 1.3 or so, now it's 2.3. So things are, and then the housing market, everything is just the most expensive in history. The world's more dependent on the US wealth creation machine, and I mean the world, than any time in history. And it's just got to keep going up. And that to me is part of why gold is doing so well. And that's why I just have to look at it. Is you never, I mean, but trying to short the stock markets is really difficult. I gave up on that. But finding alternatives was great. I mean, I really got into cryptos for a while because I thought that was a better alternative. And I've been really way, I over just was so bullish gold for too long. But let's just remember how this works. As a trader, as an investment manager and a strategist, I got beat up by gold in 2020, 21, 22, and 23. And 20, and start after 20, I kept calling it for it to break above 2000. And it stayed below 2000 until 24. By the end of 23, I was using the quote from Roger Babson that he used at the end of 1929 when he said he gave a speech. And you know, he was doing the opposite in the stock market. He says, I'll tell you what I told you the year before and the year before that, that the stock markets is going to go down. So I used the opposite. And I kept saying, I'm going to tell you what I told you the year before. Gold's going to go up. But now it has a lot. And on about, you know, you just look at it versus most moving averages. I can go out to 5 years, 60 months. It's so stretched. I'm just really scared by what it means. And that's why I look over that stock market. It just has to stay up. And I just mentioned just 10% correction. We both know used to be nothing, but it's so completely out of the mainstream media and out of the mainstream expectations now. I just look at some of the chats on Bloomberg and they say, yeah, well, earnings are going to be strong. The Fed's easing. You gotta be long the stock market, and the greater risk is not being in it. And these are the kind of things you hear. I've read about in 1929. I remember hearing in 1999. I remember hearing in 2007. And when I started the business in 1989, I remember that in Japan. So I just look for alternatives, and I have to say, just frightened by what's happening. There's certain times you're supposed to just say thank you, maybe just go to treasuries. And I think this is one of those.
You know, I'm really glad that you put that up. I don't, people are tuning in to listen to you, but so I won't go too long, but I do want to give a little bit of my story. I was
Please.
Running a hedge fund in 2007. And I, again, this is memory, so my memory is a little bit foggy, but I want to say in 2006-ish, 2007, the yield curve inverted. That was our signal when we went to a lot of cash and we bought the short end of the curve. And why not? Because that's going to flatten and go down. So we're going to make money on that. And then number two is we'll just hold and be safe, right? So it's a time to be safe. So that is the time to buy bonds. We had an inversion 12 months ago-ish. I'm going to say a ballpark that. But I certainly don't see the issue or problem going short-term bonds here. Again, not investment advice, but I see the value in that. What confuses me, not confuses me, is I've been long gold exactly when you were, started again in 2021. It didn't happen, but then it happened all at once. So what I'm confused, and I expect it to go higher just for all of our viewers and listeners, again, not investment advice, but it has gotten so frothy, and I get phone calls from friends that I've never heard of about the gold market. And you know, that is a big red flag. We've had this correction here. I went 50% cash here about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I'm not saying I'm some kind of brilliant genius here, but I'm just saying I find problems when I get friends that I've never heard from call me about the gold market. So I don't know specifically what to do. And I find a good place when I don't know is to do nothing, if you would. And that is to park your money in short-term T-bills. Go ahead.
Well, no, I think it was important for our viewers and listeners to hear that story, because that's so important. And the key thing I think is happening now is it's the gradually and suddenly factor. Like, I was a complete idiot in crude oil for at least a year, expecting to go back to 40. I still expect that. Right now it's 59. But I had to get thrown on the mat for a while, and I got to get thrown down on the mat for a while on gold. You and I were both in that. For me, just as a strategist, as an investor, I'm in Bloomberg. Everything's pre-cleared and everything, and I just have been overweight gold for too long. But that's beating the stock market. That's a problem. The key thing that really has been throwing me down in the mat since about this time last year, and actually a little bit earlier, was stopping. I stopped my bullishness in Bitcoin and cryptos, because typically early, but usually that's they've been the tip of the risk assets iceberg. And once I saw that pile on after ETFs, and certainly with Mr. Trump getting elected, all my indications there were early. I was wrong, but now they're all kicking in that this is classic peak euphoria, pile on into poor performance, late stage bull cycle stuff. So just by watching one key indicator, I've really been watching, and we're always looking for indications. I'm looking indications for the broad markets. One thing I've been really watching is MicroStrategy. Now it's just strategy. And that stock, I have to say, it's completely on the center of my radar, because anecdotal matters sometimes in this business. I think it was 24 in 2009, last year, I had two fathers at two conferences ask me, you know, my sons are about 30, and they both had sons, invested heavily in the stock in two in different places in different parts of the world, asked me to speak to their sons and maybe talk to them about getting out of this stock. I'm like, that's never happened before. Now, I was invested in the stock too myself, pretty careful by the firm, and when it gave me a 10x, I'm like, okay, this is a lot. But now I see this tip of the iceberg rolling over. It's below its 50-week moving average, it's below its 200-day moving average, it's bouncing on good support. And if it doesn't hold this 280 level, to me, it's a matter of time it breaks down. At the same time, I see that old T-bond, the U.S. Treasury T-bond, US-1 is what is in the Bloomberg terminal. It used to be the most widely traded future on the planet. It's where I started in the business in 1980s. It's starting to tick higher, which means deflation potentially from the top of the iceberg of risk assets kicking in, and deflation from bond yields potentially bottoming, bond prices going. So I see that getting started, and you have to look at what's going to trip it up. Sure, if I'm a trader, if I'm in the trade, something's going to trip me up. And that's one thing you know certainly is being at a hedge fund, and I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners can relate to it. But me as a strategist, I just look for the indications. That's why I'd say just one little trigger would be. So we had 1.53% down day in the S&P 500 approximately on October 10th. And the crypto market collapsed that weekend. I mean, that was just normal. And that was just normal. It's like, what if we get 10%? And I'm not saying in a day. I'm not saying if when we do, you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg ready to drop. And I think the whole space is ready to drop 90%. And that's just normal.
90%. Well, I
90.
don't mean
So
to interrupt. Go ahead.
you
Go
should.
ahead.
So I'll repeat. I'm glad you did. And I fully get pushback. So here's, I'll quote myself in 2018 talking about Bitcoin. It was around $10,000. I said I can easily lose a zero. I got a lot much less pushback then than I'm saying the exact same thing now. What's different? First of all, I was wrong. It only lost 70%. It went from around 10,000 to 3,000. So, but you know, as a trader, okay, a lot of people got hammered on that move. And as a trader, if you can get the two-thirds within that bell curve of a move, you're happy. And it depends on how you manage it. I see the same thing now, just a normal risk. And to me, the risk is at some point we're going to get the third potential 50% drawdown in the U.S. stock market since 2000. We've had two. We're more expensive now than history. We're more dependent on this wealth creation machine continuing than any time in history. And all my signals are heading, giving me really big warnings, particularly just one simple thing as a commodity guy. When you see gold up this much and crude oil down this much, more so than any time in history, something's going on. And I just can't look back in this. So I can't wait to write the book about this period, just like you told the story about 2008. And I just can't see how this type of disparity is not going to matter, and this type of weakness in cryptos and downcline and things that are happening in China. So here's one thing I like to point out. So normal deflation is happening in China. The 10-year note yield in China is 1.81. Now, people know if I've been pointing out this for too long, but the US is starting to go that way. We're at 4%. The CPI, PPI in China is running between 2 and -3%, depending on lately. That's despite stock market cap. I'm sorry, that's despite debt to GDP running around 300%. Now, that's not my estimate, by some estimates, including Goldman Sachs, and money supply running $45 to $50 trillion. That's more than double the US. So that's what happened in Japan in the late in the early 90s. It's what's happening in China now. And just on it, the only thing holding the whole world back from a normal deflation, a post-inflation deflationary cycle, which is normal, is the U.S. stock market. And that's why I said the inordinate risk here is just amazing. And that's why you have to just be very careful being overweight that kind of high-risk asset.
100% agree here, and I'm going to share a little bit more with you if you don't mind. But then I also want to, and this is not a pushback, but this is another scenario.
Please.
And I think, like, I read this, and this was around, I don't know, 2004, 2005. I read this article in Fortune magazine called "The Rainwater Prophecy." I don't know if you know who Richard Rainwater was or is. But it really stuck out to me is like you got to consider as a trader, investor, whatever, you have to consider the entire spectrum here. And that's one of the things I don't think people are doing, if you would. But I want to work that through with you. What is astounding to me, especially with crypto, is how much leverage is involved with crypto. And so if that goes down, I mean, you're going to have funds blowing up, you're going to have ETFs blowing up, you're going to have banks blowing up, blah, blah, blah. Correct me if I'm wrong with that. And then I want to work out the spectrum, if you would comment about
So
that.
I want to point out, I think the systematic risk, not systemic, systematic risk of Bitcoin and cryptos is enormously elevated, partly because not only here's first of all, and us pushing back or disagreeing, I think it's very important because sometimes it helps hone our own views and helps our audience make their own decisions. So to me, that's an important part of discourse. You can't do it in China. But I wrote about that in June, that the next recession might be led by cryptos. And I got a lot of pushback, particularly from the people from cryptos. And that once you get the pushback, you know what their position is. I'm like, okay, they're getting angry. So I know you're way overweight this space. I'm like, sorry, but this is, and then so I rewrote it. I just republished it about a couple of weeks ago, pointing out when you have stock market cap to GDP high, GDP this high, I mean, it's like almost unprecedented historically. 1989 Japan, 1929 US, and only two examples. It is the economy. And the next recession will be led by one key thing, just what happened in 1929 in US and 1980 in Japan, 99 Japan, just a little bit of reversion in those prices. But the tip of that iceberg are cryptos. And most of these 25 million now listed in CoinMarketCap track nothing. Now, Bitcoin tracks nothing, but it's a number on the screen. At least 300 billion of this space, which is, I'm sorry, 4 trillion, tracks the dollar, crypto dollars. And I'm still very bullish the proliferation of stable coins, as I call them, or I call them crypto dollars. But it's just full faith and credit. I like to use just one simple example. I keep using this, but Dogecoin, number 9, is worth $29 billion. It was a joke. It was launched as a joke. It tracks nothing, and it's worth that much. So at some point, that's going to go to zero. Just at some point, maybe it's going to go on to $29 out of $29 billion. It just needs a trigger. And that to me is where the whole, where it's, this was part of the massive wealth creation. This is what's going to be put in the books of the future telling the story of this period. I can't wait to write them. And I'm just looking for the signals. It's almost a guarantee it's going to happen. So I have to look at that as the tip of the iceberg, but it's looking at the whole space that I understand and I know. And that's why I look at, have to watch this Bitcoin closely. So one thing I've been watching a lot is the Bitcoin to gold ratio. Right now, it's about 28 ounces of gold per one Bitcoin. Now, I started watching that over 10 years ago. And one of the first, it was, I had a son who's now over 30, tell me about it first in 2011. And like first thought it's silly internet money. Then I started watching and understanding, getting involved, got bullish, got bearish, but mostly bullish. I got really bearish, starting getting bearish last year. And this ratio has been stuck at the same level, 28 ounces, since 2021. Now, so it's gone up and then it got stuck. So it should go back up again, right? Why isn't it doing that? And I point out because it's probably the sign of the end of the cycle. It has no directional quality and attributes anymore. People are piling in this asset space, expecting it to beat gold in the stock market, and it's not doing it anymore. It's classic what happens. You know, it's the classic when you pile on when the trade's already over. So that ratio, I'm very concerned, is going to tip back low. It's been trading between 25 and basically 35 this year. I think it's going to go back down. And one key indication is stock market volatility going up, stock market going down, because that's one thing that's changed is we know that, you know, everything has been going up, but historically, gold has zero correlation to stock market and cryptos. And that whole space are very more highly correlated to the stock market than ever. So there's that whole scene. But I look at gold versus everything. Certainly, when every major asset on the planet underperforms this ancient store of value, something's wrong. Like I mentioned, crude oil, silver, even just look at silver this year. That silver to gold ratio has been very disconcerting. First, it popped to 105, then back down to 80. 80's been support forever. Now it's kind of inching back higher again. If stock market goes down and volatility picks up, that silver to gold ratio will probably go back to 100. That's a statement because it's never closed on an annual basis above 91. So this is historic stuff going on. And I can only think of what can make legitimize these historic moves. And that's just a little bit of normalization in equity prices. And, you know, just to mention that to some people, it's just amazing how far we've come, how it's so unexpected.
So about that is, I remember very well, as you do, 20% correction in the stock market was almost very much expected, if you would. That was a bear market, and that was the time to start buying and finding value, if you would, around a 20% correction. Now I just see the pain and all the, and I'll use the word systematic risk that a 10% correction poses. Just imagine all the hedge funds and all the leverage play that would blow up at a 10% correction. So again, to me just speaking for myself, I'm very scared, afraid of that, exactly that. But let's talk about the spectrum, if you were, or where we're at the spectrum. And I'm going to throw something at you that I'm just thinking about and considering because a normal correction and even deflationary time and give that 3, 6, 9 months, whatever should happen. I put should in as in air quotes here. What if it doesn't? Meaning, what if the Fed just prints a ton of money or continues to print a ton of money and it's just start that money has that liquidity has to go somewhere. I guess my question is have you considered that and what does that look like?
That's gold. Right,
Right.
away. The
Yes.
default for that is gold. Any other options, gold. First of all, that's what happened in Japan until recently. It took like 30 years. That's what's happening in China right now, second largest economy. It's happening right now. The massive liquidity pumping in that country. Nowhere near that. I mean, like I said, it's 2 to 3 times US money supply running and debt to GDP running 300% in this country, at least 130%. It's only going up. So, but the key thing that happens is that's the key thing is what's missed one bridge at a time. I'd say, you know, in a binary model, there's one iteration and you take a choice and you go to the next iteration. The first iteration is what happened in 1933. Well, how did we bottom that deflation, bottom the stock market? FDR devalued versus gold. It took a 90% correction in the stock market. So that's my point is we go through the first iteration, and that to me is the next big trade. Stock market drops and we'll get the printing, sure. But it'll be a cat, you know, chasing it'll be like the cat chasing the dog chasing its tail forever. Just if any history is an example, when you get this expensive and people start shutting down, you know, we've way overdue for a little bit of retracement of consumer spending, particularly when everybody starts losing on the value of their home and their assets, which hasn't happened for like forever. That is, yeah, we're going to get the money pump. So I do like Larry Lepard. He just wrote the book, The Big Print. And I just point out that's a great book. He said he should have published in 2019 because it's exactly what happened. So let's look at another book, The Price of Time by Edward Chancellor. Boom and Bust by Quinn was one of the authors. Those are just two of the books that point out what always happens in history after you have massive liquidity pumps and inflation, inflated risk assets. You always get the post-inflation deflation. Getting it in China in many ways, they are now to the point they're buying their own stock market, just like the Japanese have been for 20 years. Why? Because they've had to. Sure, it might come in this year, but it'll come after you get that first, at least normal decline in the stock market that stays down. And we're just overdue for that. I mean, can we just have we outlawed recessions in bear markets? Maybe. But then if we have, and we're going to get all the printing, that keeps me defaulting to gold. The problem I have with gold is like you and I have been so bullish on it for so long. Finally, when you get a year like this, that is of the past 100 years, which includes a period when the US was, you know, on the gold standard, only 1979, 1972, and 1973 had better performing years than what we've
Wow.
done since. Yeah. And you right away put that in the context of history. That was massive inflationary periods. But we've never had a pump in gold like this with stock market volatility this low. 90-day volatility is running 10%. That's wonderful. Just a month ago, it bottomed at 8.9%. That was lowest since 2020. It's a wonderful situation if we can sustain it. And that's why I can't be bullish gold when it's this overbought. I'm not bearish. I can't short it, but I can't write about it like I was for the last 4 years. That's going to
Yeah.
go up a lot. I have to wait. And
Yeah.
that's so I have to point out sometimes it's prudent to take profits.
So that is a great answer, actually. And I mean that not to stroke your ego, but I think that's great advice to all of our viewers and listeners. I've been on the record for the past 2 months, and this is not advice either. I have taken a lot of money off the table and just parked it. That being said, I still own a lot of gold, still own a lot of mining stocks, so I'm still
Oh, great
relatively
year.
heavily invested. But if we do have another drawdown here, or even going nowhere, I have funds or capitals to redeploy, but I'm not under this pressure or FOMO, if you would. Mike, you're going to have to leave here. So I do appreciate your time, but really quickly here, do you see value or is it even worth looking for value in the commodity sector with everything again, with all this liquidity and possibly deflationary inflection point?
We're getting there. So let's mention crude oil. Crude oil's at $60 a barrel. The low for the last 20 years have been around 40. I started calling for 40 3 years ago, was an idiot for a while. You got to feel the pain. And now it's somewhat more consensus, which kind of concerns me. But you know, the next 20 bucks, I don't see it really getting above 80 because they'll just incentivize more supply and pressure demand. And what's normal is 40. But what's really happened every single time in the last 20 years, we've gone to that level 3 times, is the US was during that period, pretty much a net importer. Now we're a net exporter. Okay, the world's shifted. So that one's getting towards a low price core. And you look at price cure. And look at all the other commodities, most of the elastic commodities like corn, soybeans, wheat, natural gas. You know, natural gas is still elastic. They're all kind of getting to those low price cures. Typically, when you get a pump like we got to the peak in 2022, it takes a period of enduring period below average cost of productions. In crude oil, that's around 55, so you got to get below there, 40. In corn, that's around 375, or right now above 4. It usually takes a period below these average break-even costs to put in a long-term trial. Now, I can't predict some kind of event like the Russians' invasion of Ukraine, but on the back of that, we're still heading this. The bottom line is it's the metals. Historically, the metals are the best performing of all commodities. Unless you're investing in, particularly if you invest in the outright. So you can buy metals, you can buy gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and store it. There's ETFs that track it, and they're easy. But in all the other commodities, you're better off buying equities. The point is, those I think I'm still quite bullish, but I'm just very concerned that the industrial metals are much more like copper, is very subject to a decline in the stock market, which I'm very risky, so I have to be concerned about. So I stick with the precious metals. I think they're still going to do well. It's just not a level to be overweight, long weighted for better location, other times for me to write something bullish about them. But overall, commodities, I think it's going to be a while. The key thing to remember, and I'll point out this year, is the commodity markets being completely driven by metals. They're the least elastic commodities, and they're all being driven. Gold's leading them all. So when gold's the top leading commodity in the planet, and crude oil's leading the laggards, that's not a good sign. So that's when I like to say pull back, focus on, like you said, just I'm bowing your general direction for having been invested in the miners this year. What a great trade! But you took a lot of pain for a while, man. They underperformed
Yeah,
for
a couple of
years.
years. Yep,
Finally
three
catching up.
years,
So,
3 years.
but it gives you that back. So that's why I just point out to me the next big potential trade is good old US Treasury long bonds. I look at that 10-year note or the US long bond right now, it's like 4.58. In China, it's around 2. And if we just get a little backup in the stock market, a little bit of normal reversion, that's going to probably potentially drop 200 basis points, just catching up to what's happening in the whole world. We're going to face a recession. Now, if I'm wrong on that, everything's fine. But to inflate, it's just the key thing is when you see things that are not spoken, people talk about the debasement trade. Debasement trade makes is silly when crude oil is declining, bond yields are declining. That's not, that's deflation.
So, Mike, I am afraid, and I mean this with respect, but I'm afraid, and not for myself, but I'm afraid you're right because that means we're going into recession here. And also, I want all of our viewers and listeners just to think about that. If we do see a $40 crude, which we very well could, we are in severe deflation in my book. So, that's how I see it. Mike, I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm very grateful to you and all of your insights, and we'll have you on again soon. I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate being on. I'm looking forward to the next time.
Yep. All right. Thank you.